another Cup of Joe podcast on this Friday, July the 21st. And wherever you are, whenever you are listening to this, I wish you God's grace. I wish you God's beauty. I wish you God's life today. Thank you for being with me as we open God's word together. And as always, what we're going to do is we're going to look to the readings for this coming weekend, the 16th Sunday in Ordinary Time. We're going to read them out of the same translation that most of the time I do, and this time it is the New American Translation. Occasionally I'll read it out of a different one because I think it's good for us to hear different translations on occasion. It causes us to wake up. But what I'm going to do this time is we're only going to read one reading. Generally, I read the first reading in the Gospel together. For this coming Sunday, I'm just going to focus on the Gospel. A couple of reasons for that. One, I think the Gospel holds great power. The first reading is really good. It's got some good things to say about who God is and how God interacts with us. But we're just going to focus on the Gospel because I think it's got great power. And two, my darn podcast has been getting long. I know. I promise you I'm going to keep them to 20 minutes, and then I just keep going on. Well, I'm doing it again. So let's see if we can hold her to 20 minutes, but let's see if we can allow God's word to really live within us. Because more important, I guess, than time, more important than anything else is that we open ourselves to that. So again, however you do that, whether you need to pause this for a while and just invite the Holy Spirit to come and open you in whatever way that is, whether it's to give you a vision through a word that you just fall in love with and hold on to, or an image that you just want to wrestle with, or an idea, any of those things. Let the Spirit work within you as the Spirit needs to work within you. Nothing more and nothing less. Okay? And so for those who are following along, we're going to read out of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 24 through approximately, 35, 36, in that ballpark, okay? And you're going to wonder why approximately. Well, I'll tell you in a little bit, okay? So let's silence ourselves. Let's open ourselves. Let's break open God's word. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus proposed another parable to the crowd, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a man who sowed good seed in his field. While everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds all through the wheat and then went off. When the crop grew and bore fruit, the weeds appeared as well. The slaves of the householder came to him and said, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where have the weeds come from?' And he answered, 'An enemy has done this.' His slaves said to him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' And he replied, 'No. If you pull up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until harvest. Then at harvest time, I will say to the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles for burning, but gather the wheat into my barn.' He proposed another parable to them. 'The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a person took and sowed in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, yet when full grown, it is the largest of plants. It becomes a large bush, and the birds of the sky come and dwell in its branches.' And he spoke to them another parable. 'The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch was leavened.' All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. He spoke to them only in parables to fulfill what he had said through the prophet, 'I will open my mouth in parables, and I will announce what is lain hidden from the foundation of the world.' The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So, I have a confession to make to you, and I alluded to it earlier, right? I cut the Gospel short. it could have gone on for another 6-8 verses. Why did I cut it short? Had we continued to go on, what you would have seen and heard, and what you will see and hear, and this is the reason I'm telling you about it now, so you're not surprised on the weekend where you're like, Joe didn't read that, is that Jesus dismisses the crowd, similar to last week, right, when we heard the parable of the sower and the seeds. The disciples go around him later after the crowds have gone and they say, tell us what that parable means of the sower, you know, sowing the seed, the weeds and wheat in the field, right? And Jesus will go on and talk about, hey, you know, the field is the world and the good seed is the children of the kingdom and the bad, the weeds are the children of the evil one, etc. Okay. So why am I not telling you that? Well, listen, here's the deal. I want to say this very clearly. Who am I to cut and paste the word of God, okay? Who am I to say, listen, you know, that doesn't make sense to me. Although I will say, in saying this, okay, I'm not sure those words, the interpretation of the parable, are the words of Jesus or the words of Matthew, the gospel writer, or the community of Matthew up in Antioch, okay? I don't know that. I believe them probably to be the words of Matthew, and there's a reason for that, and I won't really necessarily go into all that. And that doesn't mean they're bad. It doesn't mean, like, who am I to dispute Matthew, right? Or the community of Matthew. This is scripture. But I guess I don't read it now because it's one way of interpreting this parable. But parables, by their very nature, are riddles. They are enigmas. They are inviting us to chew on them. Okay? That's what they do. And they're multi-layered. And so I think if we were to sit and listen to that parable, and we've heard it, right, 100 times, and we've heard the disciples ask for the answer, and 100 times we've heard Jesus interpret it, and then we say, okay, that's the answer, and then we don't think about it anymore. And I don't think that does justice to the multi-layered and the fullness of what this parable is. Okay, it's the wheat field is the world, and the wheat are the good people, and the weeds are the bad people, and I just got to try to be the good people. But yet I go about life, and every now and then, all the time, every day, sometimes, in some ways, maybe I blow it, and then I think I'm not the good people, and then I start getting shame, and I start getting worried, and I'm not sure that parable does us any good that way, at all, at all, at all, at all. All right, so what are we talking about here? I'm going to give you an interpretation that I wish were my own, but it's not. I won't say it as well as Richard Rohr does, but this emanates from Richard Rohr. Those of you who know me well know I often will use him as a resource, a marvelous priest, a Franciscan priest, because he looks at us as the field, okay? And that helps bring it down to a very personal level, and brings it down to a level that it's like, that makes sense to me. So let me go through it, all right? Jesus proposed another parable. Okay, the first one was last week where we heard the sower and the seed, right? Went on rocky ground, thorny ground, you know, rich soil, etc. But this one, he says, the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a man who sowed good seed in his field, right? That's you and I. Now again, this, even what I'm telling you isn't the only interpretation. Please know, if the Spirit's bringing you elsewhere, great, because there are many layers, all right? A man who sowed good seed in his field, right? Because we are created in the image and likeness of God, brothers and sisters. We are created in the image and likeness of God. We are baptized into Christ. There is nothing better. You are another Christ. That is good, good seed. In fact, that is the best seed. That is the best seed that you have had sowed within you. While everyone was asleep, I love that line, while everyone was asleep, the enemy comes, right? And sows weeds in that very place. Because isn't that exactly what happens in our lives? I won't speak to you, but I know I'll speak to me when I'm asleep. And I don't just mean at night, brothers and sisters. It means when I'm tired. It means when my attention is elsewhere. When my thoughts are elsewhere. When I am busy doing whatever it is that isn't about the kingdom of God, but I am asleep, I am not awake to the presence of God. And anytime I am not awake to the presence of God, I am asleep. And when I'm asleep, is when I live out of this place of weeds and not wheat. Again, using a Richard Rohrism, we are filled, my friends, with wheat and weeds. You've heard me use it if you followed for a long time. We are filled with wheat and weeds. This is where this comes from, because this field is us, right? And here's the great part. Okay, when the crop grew and bore fruit, the weeds appeared as well, right? As we grow, brothers and sisters, I don't think there's a day that goes by in my life where wheat and weeds aren't apparent to me in their fullness, right? And I don't think that's just a Joe thing. I think that's you and I together, right? And okay, so the slaveholders come and they say, Master, you want us to pull up the wheat or the weeds, you know? Again, and here, let this blow you away and just sit with us. Wrestle with it, brothers and sisters. Don't take what I'm saying. One is correct and two for granted. What, doesn't that make sense? Get rid of the wheat, the weeds. Get rid of the weeds. Get rid of the weeds. We just want to be wheat. And this is where the master just throws us for a loop. And he says to us, an enemy has done this. Do you want us to pull them up? No. If you pull up the weeds, then you might uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together. How on earth do we interpret that? Are we supposed to get rid of the weeds in our life? Well, yes, of course. But at the same time, I think what our God's inviting us to is allow grace for ourselves for the weeds that do reside there. Why? Because maybe that's entirely what we need to fall on our knees and ask for God's grace, right? Perhaps, and I'm not saying this is true, perhaps if all the weeds were out of our life, we would become judgmental. We would become pharisaical, right? Looking down on others who are filled with wheat and weeds. And we ourselves, oh, look how proud we are that we are just wheat and don't even see the weeds in that pride or that arrogance or that judgment, right? Perhaps the weeds are there that we know that we must fall into the grace of God, for there is nothing else but the grace of God, right? That we live by it. We live and move and have our being within that grace. There is nothing else but it. Right? I mean, isn't that image that the Navajo, in their traditions of weaving blankets and weaving rugs, leave one spot that is imperfect, and they say that's where the spirit enters. That's where grace comes in. Amen. Brothers and sisters, and I wish I had time to go over the first reading, because I'm keeping an eye on the clock here as well. This is why this is so good. This is why this is so good. Because the first reading is filled, and it reminds us that God is so good, and God is lenient, and God is filled with grace. And this reminds us, be filled with grace for ourselves. Brothers and sisters, we are filled with wheat and weeds. And we invite the Spirit of God to infect all of us, so that those weeds may not grow at such a level as the wheat does, or they may grow in lesser areas, or they may actually even die off to a degree. And that's where the other two parables come in. There's no reason it's not an accident that they're together here. The parable of the mustard seed, that something so small that we think, you know, that's who we are, or what we have to offer God is so incredibly small, how can God even use it? And he comes up with this wonderful parable that says, hey, the smallest of all seeds is going to grow into a bush that even the birds of the air can come down. I don't know what you have to give to God. I barely know what I have to give to God. And I know what I feel like when I approach the vastness and the abundance of God, right? But God isn't worried about our smallness. He's not worried about our smallness. God even says, you know, hey, don't, you know, a sparrow doesn't fall to the ground without me knowing about it. And you are worth more than many sparrows. In God's eyes, we are exactly the level of what we need to do. And don't let that worry you. That's God's concern. God created that. But just know that seed is planted within us, be it big or small. And let God do the growing, because God doesn't worry about that size. And then that last parable that he tells is that idea of, and this may be my favorite one, the kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch was leavened. Right? You know, we don't say, okay, compartmentalize God and say, this is the part that God holds within me. The part that appears good to other people, the part that goes to church on Sundays, the part that treats other people well. But this part, the part that likes to say these things to other people or judge these other people with that or think these thoughts about other people that I won't tell anybody, I'm not going to let God in there. No, brothers and sisters, the Word of God infects all of us, all of us. And in so doing, one, it's going to undermine the roots of the weeds that are there, okay? They're still going to be there, but maybe they're not going to be as present. We need those places where we think God, we don't want to take God because God's going to be like, oh, you know, how can you be thinking those things or saying those things or acting in those ways? That's exactly where we need to bring God in, because those places need to be infected with the Word of God, just like a whole measure, these 3 measures of dough are leavened, the whole batch, and it becomes the lens through which we encounter the world, through which we live in the world, through which we see the world. Brothers and sisters, we are filled with wheat and weeds. Let that roll not only off you, but let it blow through you. Let it blow out a sigh of relief that that is what is happening. And God knows it. And God loves us in the midst of it. Let us invite God into all of our field, into every bit of it. And know that God loves us even in the midst of all that. That is so good. And let those weeded areas of our life bring us to our knees to invite the grace of God within. Because only within that space can we become fully that measure of flour, that field that brings forth grain 30 or 60 or 100 fold. Let's pray. And so we begin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The first luminous mystery, the baptism of Jesus. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, be well. Thank you for being with me as we break open God's Word for this 16th Sunday in Ordinary Time together. I hope you are filled with every good joy and blessing this coming week. Be well, and God's peace.